Helvetes, helvetes, helvetes.
Hello and welcome back to the Handstand Cast with me, Emmett Lewis, and my glorious origami-loving co-host, Mikael Christiansen. How are things going?
Yo, yo. Yes, they are going great. We are actually talking on the podcast again. How incredible is that?
Yeah, I know. It's I suppose a bit of an apology. We've been, I'm blaming Mercury was in retrograde, I think, for the last month or so. So I'm blaming that why we couldn't get a podcast together. You would not believe all the people listening out there, like, the clusterfuck of technical issues we've had in the last while trying to get a fucking podcast recorded. So
yeah, best was last time
today.
We started recording. I think we had recorded for like maybe 20 minutes, like last time. That is like now. Today it's Friday. It was on Monday this week we tried to record, and mid podcast, like, the mic fucks out, the headphones fuck out, the program fuck out, and I get Omega rage, and I was just like swearing, and we tried to reset it, and it didn't work because apparently for whatever reason, like. Okay, I don't have like the best podcast equipment in the world, but the technology of putting in headphones, putting in a fucking microphone, and just assuming that they work, in 2022 you can't just make that assumption, because suddenly you plug in the mic and the computer has decided that your mic is now your fucking speakers. So then Emmett can't hear me, and then I unplug them and I plug it back in, and then I can hear, like, Emmett can hear me, but I can't hear him. Is there any solution for it? No. Is there any way to know why it's happening? No, not at all. Like, you go into fucking sound settings and you try to find the goddamn headphones, but it doesn't exist because, like, they've just changed the entire fucking layout. You can barely find, like there's nothing called control panel anymore on the goddamn fucking Windows. The rage I feel about that fucking stuff is unbound. Yeah,
and then it didn't work. All the other shit as well. Like, we tried to record the other day, or after that. Then my internet connection, where technically I'm meant to have like the fastest internet connection in Ireland, and I actually have like two internet connections to my house as backup, so I have like a redundant backup on a different line, and that was just not working as well. And then Mikael broke his computer as well. Let's not forget that.
Suffering. Yeah, I just fucking dropped it in the floor when I was like, I was gonna climb into my bed, like, my bed is on top of this thing, and I kick my foot into a thing, and I'm like, I lift my leg, and then it just falls down and the screen breaks, and I had to hand it into fucking repairs, because on most computers you can just like buy your own screen and put it back in. I don't know well how to do that kind of stuff, but you can do it. I'm really happy I didn't, because like when I went to the repair store, they were like, oh, you have a 144Hz adaptive sync screen that specifically connects to your fucking video card. So like, you need that exact screen. And I probably would have brought the wrong one.
Yeah.
And that cost me a shit ton of money. Now I have a computer, not going to throw it on the floor. Holy fucking shit. So,
you say that, you're just probably going to punch it at an airport again.
Yeah, rage. But like, yeah, that leads us also neatly into the topic, which is not having one. So we're just going to continue with this for the entire episode. And then it might, or very likely, we will talk about handstands as well. Since we're like semi-interested in the topic. But
semi-interested in the topic. Yeah, speaking of the topic, I've got an interesting one for people out there. And I'd actually appreciate if people, if they're having this experience, to DM me on Instagram and just let me know. I'm not alone. So basically, like, post-COVID, so I had COVID in March, whatever, like 7 months ago or 6 months ago, whatever it was. Or was it April? April, March, whatever. And then, like, afterwards, so, you know, I'm pretty cautious with my training anyway when I've been sick. I normally, like, dial down the volume. And let's say I've been doing, at that time, I was doing two short training sessions a day, 5 days a week, doing like two 45-minute sessions. Then COVID happened. Then I was like, okay, back to training. I've been sick. Now, COVID for me was like 5 days in and out, in and done of, you know, one day bad, kind of sniffles and other shit the other day. on the either side of that. So nothing bad. Finished that. I was feeling pretty good. You know, bit of a cough remaining, but not anything you wouldn't get, like just a normal kind of cold. So nothing bad, nothing other stuff. So just another bit of background information. I have a genetic predisposition to connective tissue issues, just as things. So you may have spotted a pectus excavatum and other things. So, you know, but it's never caused me a problem. Never caused thing, but I know it's in the genetics somewhere. So I was starting my training, coming back from COVID. I said this on the cast anyway, but it's leading into something else, where I was like, okay, coming back in, I'm just going to do, I think it was like doing 3 sessions a week and wasn't doing any one-arm stuff. I was like, okay, I'll just do my 2 arms, just get back on my hands, recover from things. I always kind of like to think that when you've had an illness, any kind of illness, you may feel better, but you always want to give yourself 1 or 2 weeks of easy training post that, just to, you know, let the system normalize. Then I blew up my old wrist injury. And it's just been like, it's been an issue now for about 6 months since then. It's still an issue and still like difficult to do any training on. So that was one thing. But then, because we have our retreats in Turkey coming up next week, I was like, okay, you know, starting about 2 months ago, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to start training, just get back into a kind of presentable shape for the workshop. And then I slowly started, like, basically every training session or every 2 sessions, something was breaking. Like, and particularly a lot of old injuries. And it was like, they were just coming back at, like, redone, like, I was warming up my side splits one day and I tweaked one of the tears in one of my adductors in my right side. I tweaked one of my fingers trying to correct like a normal fucking 2-arm handstand. Then put my back out pretty badly. That took me out of training for a good 2 weeks. Not in training. I don't even know how that happened. Done a bit of, like, it was feeling a bit weird, and then I'd done a bit of gardening, and then that kicked up an old back injury that I had from, there was one time when I was like squatting and the bar slipped off one shoulder and that twisted my back, and that kind of took me out for, you know, it was probably the worst back injury I had, but in terms of back injuries it wasn't bad. It was like out of training for 2 weeks while it was recovering, or I was still doing some training, but I just couldn't do anything kind of backy. Then so then I put that out. Then, this is the really weird one, then I've given myself a mild bit of tendonitis in my right hand by splitting some firewood. Now, when I say I was splitting firewood, what I mean is we have some logs and stuff in the house. We got, I don't know if people know these wedges you use for splitting firewood. And it's like, oh, I got a new toy, use a wedge and a hammer to split it. So I split a single log into half to play with my new toy. So not even like I split a load of firewood or took down a whole tree. It was like literally just one split. It took about 20 hit blows with a hammer. And now that's acting up. And it's just a bit strange. Like there's loads of other shit. Like I know I've kind of mentioned that I've been tweaking a lot of stuff in some of the past casts. And it's just like I had a bit of a look on stuff about COVID. And I found one doctor of connective tissue on Twitter with a thread whose name I forget off the top of my head. And they were talking about with long COVID that a lot of the symptoms can be explained if you look at the research into Ehlers Danlos and other connective tissue disorders. So if you look at the symptomology of them, they're actually very, very similar. Now, there's no research on this as far as I can see, but it is just an interesting one. And then, like, this is the other thing. I remember saying, after I blew my wrist up, I said it to some of the coaches I work with just to... Hey, if you have, you know, I've done this. If you have people who are just coming out of COVID, it's best to probably reduce their training volume. And I reduce my training volume by this amount. And I'd say you probably need to reduce it even more coming out of it for a month. Just as a heads up, as, you know, speculation, informed speculation. And then even one of my friends who is coaching someone, he had one of his clients who decided, Emmett said this, but I'm going to basically fuck around and find out for myself and just do my normal training. He also blew up his old wrist injury as well in the same way. If you're listening, you know who you are, and I know you're listening. You'll remain nameless, even though, you know, it's a case of fuck around and find out. And So then it's just like, I'm interested to hear from people, just to gather some anecdotal evidence. Are you like, if you've had COVID in this kind of post-COVID phase, are you blowing up your old injuries or gathering new ones in situations where you shouldn't be injured? It's kind of, yeah. Could just be like, it could just be me. As I said, I have a predisposition to potential jank in this thing, but I think it is a thing. No, I like to think it's a thing for me. I'm just wondering if it's a thing for other people.
Mm. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that was a rant. And a good one.
Yeah,
I haven't had any. I haven't had any like specific things happening around that myself, but yeah, might definitely be a thing if you've had like a bigger sort of, I mean, and entering of a new pathogen into the body that seems to do a lot of weird shit to a lot of people. I mean, wouldn't be surprised if, and particularly since it like seems to have like neurological shit going on. I have like one guy I know here in Stockholm. I met a few.
That's the other thing the doctor pointed out on the neurological stuff as well. The neurological stuff has the same symptomology as what you'd see in Ehlers Danlos or not Marfan, there's some other one as well. I can't remember off the top of my head. That because these connective tissue things, so we think connective tissue, but they also cause like organs, fatigue, mood changes, a tendency towards neurosis, other kind of things that would be kind of accumulated around this kind of symptomology cluster.
Just thinking of other things that like speaking of like injuries and stuff, like I've been like remarkably uninjured the last phase, like I spoke about in like the last solo cast I did when I was in Prague and we were doing like that entire show run. It was going went pretty well. Body was able to deal with it in quite a good fashion, which I was rather surprised on. I actually feel like in sort of better shape than in a good while, trundling along with my shoulder, of course, going up and down, but it's very good. I'm able to do. I think was it last week? I basically got to the point where I have done all the things that I did before I got the shoulder injury, the level of consistency on all of the things are not, I mean, of course not the same, and I may maybe not expecting them to ever be the same, but I did crocodile to one arm, and I haven't done that for I think 2.5 maybe 3 years, 2.5 years maybe. That was one of the last like angles where the shoulder just felt like it didn't have any power, and I was able to do it. So that's kind of like was an interesting point, and it was quite fascinating, what I was thinking a lot about, or like I'd kind of come to the point where I was quite okay with just like not being able to do certain things for like perhaps ever again. And I'd kind of got caught, or like how to say, just started just being more focused on, oh well, I can do this and this, and I sort of happy about that, and just like take playing it a little bit day by day. But then seeing that like gradually things being able to come back, even like they're like really the stuff that's on the high end of my physical capacity has been coming back into function, which is really fun. Nice. And interesting to see. So that's been like it's been a good, like I did that all that like Prague period, and then I've had like just time for myself to just practice and take it easier in that sense, even though there's been like a substantial amount of stuff. And we have a few shows coming up in a few days, and I've been teaching this one hand balancer named Antonio Panaro the show, so he's learning my role, so that's been really cool, and he's learning it pretty fast. Like he has a shit ton of like stuff to learn. There's so much like memory in the show in terms of like presets and like various group scenes and like theatrical things and like acrobatic stuff, choreography, like you name it, it's just like full on all the time. But he's been learning it really fast, so it's been cool to work with him. He's also an incredible hand balancer. He's what I like. I've come up with a nickname for him. Like he is the textbook of hand balancing. Like I don't think I know anyone who's as textbook when you look at him as him. When he just does a cevichka, it's so fucking tight, it's so stable, and it's so like in that picture of perfection, like the ultimate look of it and stability, he is that. And it's like both sides, it's extremely symmetrical. He's also completely obsessed with these things. He says that, like, yeah, sometimes if I feel a bit off on like one arm or the other, like I just train like those basics until I feel really good and the elbow doesn't move. And he loves that sort of like, and yeah, all his shapes are just like pristine. And it's really cool to just like watch. You just look at it, it's like, damn, yeah, that's extremely proper in like kind of the form of everything he does. It's awesome. So I've been doing like the last weeks, and we head up to the north of Sweden, and we play a few shows, and he's going to be there to see me play it and like kind of get more like sort of input on like the kind of the character work and sort of the trajectory of this character in the show's story and so on. So it's been like a week now of doing that, plus a whole lot of other shit. And in about an hour, I go to the circus school, the university, teaching a course, teaching Seb, actually. It's a common friend of ours who also, she's the model in, is it Push? Keep Pushing?
She appears in a few of the programs, kind of smatters around. Depending if she's around Dublin or not when we're recording.
Yeah.
Get her to come down. Go. Sharon takes photos for us, but then, yeah.
Good progress for her.
I have the funniest video of Seb. She's in some of the modern methods of mobility stuff as well. I have the funniest video, a bit of a blooper from one of the things. I need to send it to you. It's fucking hilarious. I'll probably put it on Hanson, or probably put it on M3 soon enough if people are watching. Yeah. It's all these... I think of topics to talk about. What is else going on? Yeah. Sleep deprivation. My baby is sleeping. Like, she slept 8 hours last night now.
What? I didn't hear that.
Baby's sleeping like 8 hours now.
Oh, shit. That must be life-changing. As life-changing as her coming into the world, almost.
Yeah. I think it was kind of funny. Anyone who's had a new kid, could probably relate. But the first bit where she was... You have to kind of feed them during the night and wake them up, and if they don't wake themselves up and other stuff. So we were kind of running on, we had a shift system where she also was needed to be settled down after that and other stuff. So we had a shift system where like I'd do 2 hours, partner would do 2 hours, blah, 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 alternate between these things. Yeah. And we were both like sleep deprived messes.
Of course.
The house was in a state. Then, you know, slowly after a month or two, she was sleeping just a bit better, not a lot, but I think one night we got 5.5 hours in a row, she didn't wake up. And then suddenly, like, we're like, oh shit, we can do stuff around the house. Shit, the garden needs to be done. Oh shit, I need to hoover the house. And then suddenly we're like doing stuff and feeling normal again.
Nice.
It is that kind of thing where, sorry.
No, how is it out at the glorious estate? Have you gotten time to do anything with the big house? I mean, I guess you that listener have heard that Emmett owns a fucking mansion in the middle of nowhere. So he's now officially a recluse that has a garden that's bigger than like it's fucking enormous.
Yeah, no, it's nice. What have we done? So sort of as a thing. So a bit of background on it. We kind of in our Kickstarter we put a bit of a joke goal. That we were going to launch the Church of Flex if we reached a certain amount of money. We reached a certain amount of money, and that was actually able to... We actually needed to complete the purchase. So thank you, everyone who supported the Kickstarter. We wouldn't have been able to do it without you. But with this, so we bought a place that we're going to turn into a retreat venue for our own filming... Other kind of stuff, other like this is the kind of thing. Over the next year or two, we're going to start running test events at it and see what works and see what doesn't. So the chapel, we have a church on it. So the chapel will be the training space, which needs a bit of work. But we managed to start clearing it out and we have pretty nice space. So that's kind of good. What else have I done? I'm trying to think. Have we done any bigger projects?
I barely hear what you say, Emmett. Like it's like I hear like words.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with the recording.
I think the recording's going fine. That's one thing we're sure of.
It's just the internet.
The internet shit on the call. Yeah. So you just kind of have to go, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So basically, I was just saying we need, we're turning out this retreat venue. We have beginning to gather the plan. We have our first one, which probably we don't need to do first, but we're going to do it for ourselves, is we have an old water cistern where they used to collect the water off the roof and store it into a big kind of concrete box. So I'm going to cut the lid off that and turn it into kind of a sauna outdoor area.
Ooh, nice.
So that's going to be, probably don't need to do it. Like, it's one of those things that's probably a low priority, but I think in terms of having a sauna, I think it's a high priority. So that's going to be nice. Then, we have, there's some outbuildings on the ground as well, which we're going to, it looks like we're going to turn that into a second studio and accommodation. So it's pretty, it's not huge, it's not going to be a huge studio, but it's going to be like, it's going to be a nice, like, it's going to be long and narrow, but then we'll have mirrors all on one wall. So you have like a nice, so we have one nice mirrored studio, so you can kind of get in and do your own deep work.
Or is that the place where you have the firewood and stuff now?
Yeah, it's the, that place. So sick. We're going to, convert that and then, basically, now all of these are kind of like 5 to 10 year plans, 5 year plans. Get some cash together for it, but that would be good. And then, that kind of building that has no roof beside it will turn into a house and accommodation for people staying over. Then, what else are we doing? Then, my own goal is, like, I'd love to build one of these Japanese pergola, kind of, you see them with the training sides and kind of have the roof kind of hanging over.
Yeah, that would be sick.
Then, have a kind of, like, really nice outdoor training space. That is, that's my own fantasy goal. And I got talking to a friend of mine who hadn't seen in a while, who is a juggler in Ireland, Brian. And he is, he's studying furniture and architectural woodwork. So it's just, it was about Letterfrack juggling convention. So you put on a small juggling convention for about 25 people at 2 weekends ago, it was 2 or 1 weekend ago. So went along to that. That was really good to, it's kind of these things like just to get out of the house and bring Ivy to her first juggling convention, which she really liked it. That's the kind of thing. She's very good when we go out places. She just kind of likes to watch and, indoctrinating her young, basically, is my goal. And then, so that was really good. And then I found out he's actually doing architectural woodwork. So I was like, you understand, like, this thing. You understand the needs of a circus artist. So then we can actually go, like, this is, we need something that's also a training space and not just a nice place to sit outside. So he'll be able to, hopefully I won't do, he still has a year or two of studies left. But after that, I'll be like, Brian, come down and build my Japanese-inspired
program. Come build my things.
Yeah. Then, what else is running? Yeah, then we're starting our first, we have our first actual event. So we have two events coming up. So we have the Handstand Press team. So the team is responsible for that. My partner is the editor-in-chief or whatever of it. And then the other people involved, they're coming over for a week to do handstand press things.
Nice.
Things and hang out. Then we have, after that, I have my Taoist martial art training group is coming for a week. So we're doing, so slowly getting events running. Then myself, I still have, basically once I come back from Turkey, the good news is I was going to start filming and putting stuff back up on my YouTube. I haven't done that for a while. So that's going to be fun now that we have the filming space. So things are beginning to happen, basically. Then
nice stuff.
Hopefully at some point we'll host a Handstand Factory thing or a Mikhail thing here.
Yeah, it would be super sick.
Yeah,
I haven't built anything of or I haven't bought a house, but I moved into a new apartment, which is a substantial increase in life quality. I sleep amazingly, like, basically there are no windows in the bedroom, which is like the best quality of life change ever. It's just bedroom. A crypt. I mean, the apartment is super nice and stuff, but the bedroom is basically like the furthest in, and it's towards basically kind of like there, it's built on a hillside, and I'm like in basically the basement part of the house, basically like closest to the hillside, and there's no windows, and I've never had such high quality sleep in years. So that's nice. pretty incredible. And spent a shit ton of time on, yeah, I fell down like a hardcore origami rabbit hole like in June. I don't know really what happened, but I like started learning more about the different papers and like how to treat them and how to like with treat, I mean like how to color them and how to kind of like make yeah. them like how the choice of paper matters a shit ton. So I got into that, and then I folded a couple of mega complex huge projects, and then I continued on a few more and then on a few more, and then I ordered like some paper from Brazil from this guy that like named Alan, who makes like the nicest looking papers I have ever seen. So I got the shipment a couple of days ago, and I ordered it in March because they shipped it to Sweden. It got stuck in customs here. I paid the customs. They sent it back to Brazil. He sent it back here. So, 7 months since I ordered the paper. So it got here, got stuck in customs for weeks, and then I paid it and didn't hear anything. And like suddenly it says, your package is on the way. But it wasn't on the way to me. Like just the app told me your package is on the way, but it was on the way to fucking Brazil. So they sent it back to him. And then he had to get it and then ship it back here. Now I finally got it. Amazing, awesome. But then I started like getting into designing origamis and stuff, and now I'm pretty deep into that shit. Like I have this like program called Ori Editor, which is it's a design program where you can like do a shit ton of stuff, and like I don't know how to use like 1/10 of the functions even, because there's loads of like maths based stuff that I'm just like my brain simply isn't large enough. It's super interesting. It's
too smooth brain for origami.
Yeah, like I'm way too much of a scrub to use like the more complex stuff within it, but it's super interesting. And I made one design which worked. And I'm now waiting for when we get to Turkey. So someone who's coming from the States is bringing with them a type of paper called Sekishu, which is bought at one store in Brooklyn, and they import it from that paper is only made by one paper mill in Japan, and it has like a history that goes back like over 1,000 years. It's super thin and smooth but really strong and takes to water in a very good way. So like the legends say that like they would keep tax records and stuff like that on that type of paper, because if there was a fire they'd just throw it in the water and it would survive. Because it doesn't deform like normal paper does, that kind of like just falls apart if you put water on it. Like
yeah.
It's like it looks almost like cloth, and when it dries it's just back to normal, and it's mega thin. And yes, I am getting the papers when we get to Turkey. So I'm gonna try to, when we get to Turkey and do the retreat, I'm gonna try to teach a handstand retreat and not seclude myself in the room folding lines upon lines on a massive fucking sheet.
I think I might have to confiscate your paper.
Yes, might
confiscate it. We can dispense it for like 2 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. Just like handcuff me, like, no, you're not allowed to do it. But yeah, speaking of, hey, we're doing a fucking retreat. Imagine that. Like,
yeah.
How many years ago? 3 years since we did the last one?
2 years, two and a half, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's obviously COVID fucked us for some of them. COVID fucked two of the dates. We tried to get three different dates going. COVID fucked two of the dates. Then the retreat center that we hosted in Tada burnt down in a forest fire.
Yeah, that was the worst.
Obviously, that was pretty shit. Now, the hosts of that venue, they have some friends who have another retreat center, so they were very nice, and they're like, we'll look after the organizing so you can actually run it, and we'll do all the stuff on the ground, which they're very, very good at.
Yeah.
Best retreat. I've used a few retreat centers over the years, and yeah, they were the best in terms of organization, because like so many retreat venues are just like so badly run. No names, but it's just like finding one that actually like can be organized and liaise with you and even reply to emails. Like the amount of places we've contacted going, hi, we'd like to rent your retreat venue for your full rate, you know, whatever you're charging, and blah blah blah. They start the conversation going like, oh, here's our date, you know, this, and then just stop replying to your emails and don't answer your phone call, or you call them up and go, oh yeah, we'll reply to your emails, just don't. So yeah, it's just fucked. in terms of like business.
They're super, like they're super nice people, and I can't wait to see like the new place. Like we've never been like at that place yet, but I mean we've of course seen the entire area and so on.
Yeah,
but and I mean I pretty much trust Till and Denise's expertise on it being a good place. I mean they wouldn't have chosen this if it wasn't like, I mean, like Tada is special, but I'm sure that like in quality retreat wise it's equivalent since they've chosen.
Yeah, the space is really nice. Like the hosts are circus artists and dancers between them. Mm. So they know what we need, basically.
Yeah, that's also like really good since they sort of know what we need in a sense. So like or like and what kind of like what are requirements and what are like the things that are.
We need a floor.
Yeah, we need a floor and a shit ton of time. Preferably not cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, like just like the kind of the basic things that are necessary, and then you have like the conveniences and the things that like make it like that provide the final touch that make it into kind of like and a bigger experience.
They're looking after the food as well. The one retreat venue that we, remember that retreat we done with an unnamed coach as well.
Yes.
Do you remember like we? You know, paid for food and all this, and then like they cooked like not enough food for everyone on the first couple of nights, the first couple of days. We're like, what the fuck? We had to go and have a bit of a large discussion with the host, going, you need to actually cook some fucking food.
Yeah, that was miserable. Yeah. I mean, like people wanted to like walk to the village to get like more food, and it's pretty far and stuff. Yeah, that's like exactly what you wanted to avoid with those types of things. Yeah, but. I mean, Tada has always been awesome.
Yeah, no, Tada is awesome.
I can't wait to go back there once they're like the place that burnt down. They're rebuilding, and they're pretty far along by next year. Yeah. They'll basically be operational again.
You can see some of their photos on Instagram of what they've already rebuilt.
Yeah, that's also like if anyone remembers that, like that I that's the place I was at like for a couple of months helping them build. And I probably, when I have time, will go back to help out again because it's such a great place to be. And I'm sure that like what they're now building is going to be incredible as well. But yeah, the emotional impact of losing all that must have been like super devastating. But I was kind of like, I sort of knew it as soon as like I heard about it. I was like, well, they just have to rebuild, not because. Like, or because of many things, and one of them just being that, like, they are the type of people, like, this is what they do. They like, I could not see Till and Denise just like, oh, well, we're just going to, like, move to Germany and get some regular-ass job. Like, it's just not them. There was too much emotional investment, too much story, like, the land being her grandfather's, and all of that stuff. Like, it was just, the dust had to settle, of course, but I had kind of, like, this, like, secret hope that they will probably do it once they've just like gathered the strength after all that terrible loss, and boom, like now it's not even.
I couldn't picture Till like turning down a chance to just work himself to the bone every single day from 6 a.m. to like 10 p.m.
Basically, I've never seen a harder working dude than that guy. Holy shit, the amount of hours he put in at that like. The yard where we were working, and that was just like for a short period. That's what he's been doing for 10 years, and like if he's done with something, he'll just make up another project. When I was there, he was like, before it burnt down, so when I'm done with that, so we want to build like a flamenco studio for Denise because she doesn't have her own practice space. Then I want to like expand the workshop and remove that wall. Like it's what he does. It's like of course he does juggling and other things too, but like just this the construction of things and having an idea and then realizing it through just like a fucking screwdriver and a chainsaw. It's just like that he just has to do it, and that's so fucking awesome to see.
He's definitely one of these like, oh, I'll go work from like whatever time he gets up till other stuff. I'll go dig trenches and put in a new irrigation system.
Yeah,
then I'll go play with the kids for a few hours, and then I'll go do his own training in the evening.
He told me like one of the most awesome projects he told me about on Tada that like he had to, it didn't work in the end. I don't remember, like, so he had taken a bunch of barrels and he had dug them into the ground. I think they were going to be like cold, cold, like basically for outside of the sauna, so you could jump into cold water and these barrels. And I don't remember the story, but he had dug them down and kind of packed dirt tightly around and then filled them with water or whatever it was. And then I think it had been like massive rainfalls or something that had made the ground just soak up a shit ton of water and hence like expanding. And which like he had woken up one day and like the barrel was no longer in the hole. It was lying really far away because it had just been like pressured and like it had literally like flown out of the hole. It was just by the power of the ground. I don't remember if it was rain or whatever geological condition that made this happen. But yeah, the barrel was just not there anymore and it was lying far away because of that. but yeah, there's so many like, or there were so many like secrets and like these weird like underground passages and stuff like on the property. And I said once that yeah, like you have like so much kind of, or so many like secret rooms here. And he just said as a joke, he's like, well, you know, if I didn't want your body to be found, it wouldn't be found. Fucking awesome. It's a cool place.
Wouldn't surprise me if he's dug out a bunker as well, just in case the apocalypse comes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that definitely wouldn't surprise me. Like underneath some sort of like fucking, like I think he had like, how many workshops did he have? One workshop, two workshops, maybe three workshops he had.
Yeah, three different workshops.
One down on the construction yard too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like spaces where he had tools and things like that. So he had one shed with a bunch of shit, and then he had like one actual workshop with all of the kind of the power tools and stuff. And then he had another place where there was a ton of stuff stored, and like a third workshop then down at the construction yard. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not long until it's just like we go in, what is it, like a little bit more than a week.
Yeah, literally a week. We fly there on the 15th.
And okay.
It starts on the 16th.
Mm.
Yeah. There's a couple of spaces left for Push Harder if anyone wants to join in short term, just to say that.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, join on. Other than that, Push is the sort of beginner intermediate, and then Push Harder is the intermediate advanced. So, yeah, Push is, there's like, we basically could have filled three of those retreats. We're probably going to do some early next year, all gone to plan.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out for those dates when we launch them. They'll be launching sort of at the retreat when we're there. Hopefully, we have to talk to Till and Denise basically at the retreat and go, is Tada going to be back? Because we want to be the first. Mm-hmm. We have to be the first. And then if we can't be the first, we're never coming back.
Nah. Yeah, I just pulled up the site now to look at the pictures from the previous years.
I think it's like, it's good that, like, it's one of those things. It was terrible that the fire happened. It was probably good that the fire happened because they're able to rebuild the whole site. So, because it was like, it was a family house, like a big family house on multiple stories. Or the grandfather, as far as I can, sort of built like a kind of multi-generational family home on the site. So there could have been all his family living there or having holidays there or whatever. But then, obviously, that was requisitioned into the retreat venue. But now they've had a chance to actually make a retreat venue from scratch versus having to change something into one. So I think long term it's going to be amazing, just obviously. Obviously if you're listening to this and want to run retreats, you know, get in touch with them and
talk
to them about business. What else going on?
Yeah, not that much going on. I mean, up here is like now, like autumn is starting to kick in proper. I guess same in Ireland,
yeah.
But it's starting to get sour outside. Not that it's ever actually warm, but now it's like the long sad is approaching, and lasts until like June. So for a kind, that's also why it's going to be great with just like one little escape and get like a little bit of sun on the bones before the long dark strikes.
Gotta top up that tan. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's no more outside trainings up here. Sticking to inside and circus hall and functional wrists. Oh, by the way, and Emmett, I got a fucking ganglion. Check him out.
Like, oh, wow.
I'm showing Emmett my ganglion on the screen. Yeah, it's actually pretty big. It's like really protruding. It's like, to describe it, it is like if you run your finger down from the outside of the thumb down towards kind of the wrist, there is like a big fuck off bump, but it doesn't hurt. And it's like if I push hard on it, like I'll feel something, but it's just on that kind of place where it doesn't interact with the palm or the hand on the ground at all during a handstand.
Oh, that's good.
So I don't think it's going to be a problem unless it should. Because I didn't notice it. I've probably had it there for months, and then I was suddenly like, oh, hey, here's a big fuck off bump.
Yeah. Basically, with ganglions, there's two ways of fixing them. One, the proper way, where you get it surgically drained by basically ultrasound guided needle in, drain it. I recommend that. Now, there's the other way of bashing it with a large book. Traditionally, this was the Bible.
Yes.
That's the biggest book people had. You just kind of put your hand down and
the
bash
Bible
it.
Bump.
Yeah, the Bible bashing. And then the theory or the legend behind it is like, it's a demon protruding from your skin, so trying to force its way out. So you beat it back with the Bible.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't know if that's true or apocryphal or whatever.
Mm.
But then the more modern way is to get your copy of Travell and Simon's Myofascial Pain and Trigger Point Therapy, which is also a book of notable size, and bash it with that. So I've seen a few people do it with that, and I might have done that to myself and one other person. No, not confirming that. And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a commitment. I do recommend, though, for you just to get it drained as soon as you can.
Now when I don't feel anything in it, I'm just going to leave it alone, of course. But
See what can happen with them, because they're filled with fluid, but the fluid can actually be replaced by connective tissue, and then you have to get it like surgically excised.
It's really hard. It's not soft though. It's really
like the ultrasound will tell you what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you just go in. Like, it's kind of a nurse procedure, not even a doctor procedure.
Might be worth checking it out.
I'd do too. You got social healthcare in Sweden, so you might as well use it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's we do have a pretty good system for that, even though we pay a shit ton in taxes. At least, hey, if you're sick, you go and you get it fixed. Tony here, like the guy who is learning the show. He smashed his toe up pretty badly on the first day, and he was like really bruised. So he went to check it out with an X-ray just to make sure it wasn't broken. Since he's gonna do a ton of work on the foot in that show, just goes to the emergency, has an X-ray, pays a couple of hundred crowns, done, easy, no bullshit. So actually having healthcare isn't too bad.
Yeah. That's the thing, yeah. I'd like healthcare. We have it in Ireland technically, but it's shit to get in, and you still have to pay. That's the thing. We pay taxes, not Swedish level taxes, but you don't really get a lot in return.
Mm.
The field of return is pretty shit. But alas, that is the problem of being a small Irish nation, a small island nation.
Truth.
Yeah. Don't come to Ireland. Emigrate. That's what we do. No. Everyone's welcome. That's what we like.
I'll combine.
We need to replace the gene stock, basically, is what we need. We need as much, African, Polish, other stuff who come and help integrate and then just raise our sporting talent.
Mm-hmm.
We're not that good at sports, but a good, all the Vikings, looking at Iceland in particular, stole all our good genetic talent.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, so we need an influx, basically. Useful. I've heard that from a lot of sports coaches. And we definitely have some, I don't know what their background is, but we have some track and field athletes who have maybe second or third generation Irish now who are killing it in the indoor track arena. And they've just one girl in particular just smashed all the Irish records, and it's also looking at, I think she's under 21s or other stuff, but probably will be an Olympic hopeful, so that's awesome. But
nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Right.
Yeah. I think we're reaching the end of rambling.
Yeah, and I actually need to run along and teach class. Yeah. So
Teach Seth. Except do push-ups and burpees. She loves them.
Okay, I'm going to... she's going to say no if I say that.
Basically,
We're working on some cool stuff. Like, it's basically an artistic development course. And I'm, like, helping her, like, develop a few, like, concepts that she has and giving her, like, input on various things to do and ways to use her skills and, like, concept creation and stuff like that. So it's pretty fun. And so I gave her some tasks last time that she's going to show me today. Nice. So it's going to be awesome. But I shall be running along. Yeah.
Cool. I will let you go. Other than that, this has been the Handstand Cast, a lovely little ramble cast. And we'll be, hopefully Mercury is not in retrograde anymore. Was Mercury even in retrograde? Always in retrograde. It's been in retrograde for the last 8 years or so. But other than that, we should be back to our normal kind of uploading schedule coming soon. We're also going to do, I haven't told Mikhail that, we're going to do some live Handstand Casts from the retreats. So it'll be our first chance to do a live podcast with a live audience. This is a good thing. We have a captive audience. They can't, like, leave the site. Well, they probably could if they really wanted to. We're just going to lock them in the room and force them to listen to us record a podcast. So, that's going to be cool. Yeah, that's one of the things, yeah. Other than that, fuck it. Outro music.
The Handstand Cast is brought to you by Handstand Factory and is produced by Motion Impulse. Thanks for tuning in. You can find a full transcript of each episode, along with the show notes and any relevant references, on handstandfactory.com/podcast. Thanks to Isaac for editing and Jordan for transcriptions. Music by Daniel Horwath. If you want to support the show, you can buy us a coffee on buymeacoffee.com or consider starting one of our Handstand Factory online programs. Links are in the show notes.